Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 3. I want to speak to you on the subject of righteousness by faith. Of all the things that I have learned in my life from the Lord, I believe that this is the greatest truth that the Lord has shown me. Salvation is a free gift from God. Sanctification is also a free gift from God. Everything that has to do with our relationship to God is His work in us. I'm going to tell you, that's a wonderful truth. Because we can't do anything to change who we are. Only God can do that. The highest position you will ever attain in this world is a sinner saved by grace. And it's available to everybody, anywhere. If we will submit ourselves to Him and His grace, He will save us. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we might have eternal life. And thank you for his life, that we might have life here on this earth abundantly. Lord, I pray that you would search my heart and remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I were to ask you this morning to raise your hand, if there's things in your life that you would like to see change, everybody would raise their hand. We all have things in our life that we would like to see changed. If we fail to submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, those changes will never take place. The Lord begins a work in our life as soon as we receive Christ as our Savior. All the problems that we have, He points out to us. But we can't do anything about it. And it is absolutely necessary that we understand how God does this so that we can work along with Him in availing ourselves of His grace as we mature in the Lord. So the first thing I want us to look at here is the salvation part of our life. Now, folks, we must never connect salvation and sanctification. Those two things are two separate things. If we connect them, we're going to always come up with some false doctrine, because there are things that apply to sanctification that do not apply to salvation, and vice versa. Whenever we see in God's word about falling from grace, He's not talking about your salvation, He's talking about your sanctification, and on and on and on. And so we have to separate those two things. So let's begin this morning with salvation. Look at verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, the answer to that is by the hearing of faith. We do not save ourselves. Titus 3 and verse 5 says that we are saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. It is absolutely the work of a benevolent God on an undeserving sinner when He saves us by His grace when we call upon Him. So how does that work? First is acceptance. John chapter 1, verses 9 through 12 says this: That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now notice what he says here. He is the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. Every one of us is born with a live body, a live soul, and a live spirit. That light is that live spirit. As soon as we knowingly sin against God, that light goes out and we die spiritually. From that moment on, we are hell-bound sinners. And we are on our way to destruction for all eternity until God intervenes. And so when God comes to our understanding, and the gospel message creates within us faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have the faith to believe. If we receive Christ as our Savior, and we accept the truth of the gospel, then Jesus saves us through our own acceptance of his grace. Salvation comes immediately when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then we are sealed unto the day of redemption. But the Bible also tells us that there needs to be an acknowledgement of that. Here, Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, we read this. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. There needs to be a public profession of your faith. God is not into secret agent Christians. If you believe in Jesus Christ that he is your Savior, you need to tell the world. Now, we do that publicly through baptism. When we are baptized, we are identifying with Christ that he has been our Redeemer, that he has saved us, and that we have been set free from our sins. It would be a sad marriage if a woman marries a man and she's ashamed to wear his ring. That would be a sad marriage. It's the same thing if somebody receives Christ as Savior, but they're ashamed to publicly profess him. If we're ashamed of him before men, he will be ashamed of us before his Father, which is in heaven. But before we can move on to sanctification, we have to have not only salvation, but we have to have assurance of that salvation. Until you know in your heart that you are saved eternally on your way to heaven, you cannot grow in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 5 says, at a time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the very basic doctrines of the Word of God. And he says we need to move on, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. And this will we do if God permit. And so the growth process begins with assurance. We have to know that we have been saved and we have been saved forever. Listen, I received eternal life when I received Christ as my Savior. I'm not waiting to die to get eternal life. I've already got it. When I leave this world, I'm just going to step out of this body into a new body and life goes on. Because I've already received my eternal life. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you already have eternal life living within you. You have to understand that and have that assurance. Now, here's one of those things that will give you that assurance. Romans chapter 8, I love this passage. The first four verses is for the purpose of giving us assurance. It gives us a promise that we can hang our hat on, so to speak. Chapter 7 of Romans, as you go through it, he talks about the struggle that goes on in a Christian's life for the things we want to do, we can't seem to do, and the things we hate is what we seem to do. He ends up by saying, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from the body of this death? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then we move on to chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Folks, that's assurance. I know I'm going to go to heaven. It's not because I deserve heaven. If I had to deserve heaven, I'd go to hell. It's not because I can live up to what God has done in me, because I can't do that. I'm going to go to heaven because there is therefore now no condemnation. There's nothing that I can do that will ever separate me from the love of God. I'm going to tell you, that's a place for a shout if anybody wants to shout. God has saved us by his grace, sealed us, Ephesians 4:30, unto the day of redemption, and nothing can interfere with that. Folks, that's assurance. Somebody says, well, I believe I'd go to heaven because there's more good in my life than there is bad. Don't know what they're talking about. There is not more good in my life than there is bad. There is not more good in your life than there is bad. It's all bad. Even your righteousness, the stuff that you're counting as good, the Lord says, that's filthy rags. Don't count on that. Count on the promise of God. That whoever puts their faith in Jesus Christ shall have everlasting life. Not everlasting death, but everlasting life. Now the next thing is sanctification. And we're going to move away from salvation because we've nailed that down. If we're saved, we're saved. Nothing can ever take that away from us. But you know what? We're still sinners. God wants us to be sanctified. And the natural thing to do is to start trying to sanctify ourselves. Amen? God doesn't like my sin. I want to quit my sin. That's all admirable. But how to do it is another question. Now, notice here what he says in verse 3 of our text. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? What's he saying with that? You didn't save yourself. How are you going to sanctify yourself? If you could have saved yourself, you wouldn't need God. If you could sanctify yourself, you wouldn't need God. But you can't do that. We are sinners to the core. You know something? Jesus picked out the Pharisees. And these are people, were decent people. You know, don't misunderstand. You read about the Pharisees in the Bible, the way God jumped all over them through Jesus. You think, well, those must have been some really bad people. Those are good people. They were decent, upstanding people. You could park your car out without locking your doors and they wouldn't steal anything from you. But you know what? Jesus said, you're hypocrites. And you know, why they call them hypocrites? Because they looked better on the outside than they were on the inside. A whole lot of Christians today try to look better on the outside than they are on the inside. Doesn't count for anything. God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, so you can fool us. But the heart's what's got to change. Sanctification is setting apart of your life to God. That's what it means. It's the will of God for every person. It's not just preachers or Sunday school teachers. The Bible says this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, even your sanctification. That's it. You say, well, I don't know if it's God's will for me. If you're saved, it's God's will for you to be sanctified. So we need to understand the program. What is the program? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Now listen to this very carefully. This is the program God laid out. I didn't make it up. You didn't make it up. God set up this program for your sanctification. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Folks, if you ever start shining as a Christian, you're going the wrong route. Best you can do, sinner saved by grace, I'm telling you. That's it. So what about after I'm saved for 50 years? Shouldn't I then be spiritual? If you are, you've got to start over. See, the only thing we can count on is God's grace. Whatever God doesn't fix in this earthen vessel will never be fixed. Mark it down. Try as you will, the best you can do is be a hypocrite and look like you're fixed when you're not. God wants us to just trust Him, just like we trust Him for salvation. How do we know how God saved us? Think about it. Here we are, wretched sinners, with more sins charged to our account than anybody in jail today. God knows everything. You know, there's outlaws in the world that get by with a whole lot of stuff. They might get sent to jail for one crime that they got caught in. But we're guilty for all this stuff, and Jesus knows every one of them. Every one of them. So here comes Jesus, and He's going to save us. How does He do that? You say, well, Lord, if You'll forgive me, I promise I'll never do it again. That's a big fat lie. How does He save us? When Jesus was on the cross, God the Father took every sin that we would ever commit, and He put that on Jesus. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And then God poured out His wrath that was against us on Jesus on the cross. And when it was all paid for, He said, it's paid in full. Now, that's the way He saved us. You say, well, I don't deserve that. You're exactly right. I can't live up to that. You're exactly right. But the good news is you don't have to. Now, here's where we have to understand. That's the way God saves us. And His sanctification is exactly the same process. So we trust Him to save us by His grace because He promised. Okay? We trust Him to sanctify us by His grace because He promised. And so we rest in that. The program is, God could snap His fingers and there would never ever another sinful thought enter your mind. He could completely take it away. You say, well, why don't He do it? Because we would get the glory. We'd go around glowing. We'd be so holy. But He says He leaves us with this treasure of salvation in an earthen vessel so the excellency, the power might be of God and not of us. God gets the glory when we live a true life of sanctification. Understand that. Listen, that's powerful. You say, well, does God want me to be a sinner? Nope, He doesn't. God wants you to be changed on the inside. But He's the one that does it, and He does it little at a time. And every time the Lord changes us a little bit, and we get a little bit more like Jesus, for real, on the inside, we give God the glory. If we don't give God the glory, He takes it all back, and we start over. The more we understand that righteousness is an act of God on us. I remember one time, I set myself to go without sin for a week. And my thought process was, if I make it for a whole week, I'm going to present that to God and say, God, here's my gift to You. But you know what I found out? If I ever make it a week without sin, it's going to be God's gift to me. Because it is God's grace that changes who we are. So now God has set it up so that He gets the glory for our sanctification. Now the next thing I want you to see is the process. Now, the process is extremely important. This is where we come into it. Galatians chapter 5, 1 through 6. This is what He says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, I'll stop right there. That liberty that we have in Christ Jesus is the Romans 8 passage, you know, no condemnation. That's our liberty. Nothing can ever take away your salvation. Stand fast in that. You know, we can all pick out a pet sin that we don't do and say, oh, if somebody does that, that would surely either prove they're not saved or disqualify them. A lady asked me one time, do you really believe, I was preaching on this subject, she said, do you really believe that somebody could kill somebody and still go to heaven? I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you believe somebody could gossip and still go to heaven? She said, Lord, I hope so. You know, it's easy for us to see somebody else's sin. And it's terrible because we don't do it. But we don't see our sin. We don't see what we do as bad as what other people do. And so here is, God says here that we are to stand fast in that liberty. That's important. That's the first step. Now look at the next verse. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, here, when he's talking about circumcision, he's talking about putting yourself under the law. That your sanctification is by trying harder. If that's your method of sanctification, then Christ will profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has come of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we have through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now that is such an important passage. The process is this. We have to understand that we are free. Nothing can ever take away our salvation. So now we need to start being transformed into the image of Jesus. And if we go back to trying to do it on our own, then we completely eliminate the work of God in our life. God does not help us help ourselves. You know the old saying, God helps those who help themselves? That's a lie. You know why? Because you can't do your part. You can't help yourself. But when you realize that I can't do it, I can't help myself, then God takes over. Now, before we move off this point, let me say something. You may have a sin in your life that you hate, and you really want that sin to go away. Did you know that you're in agreement with God? Even though you may sin, you're still in agreement with God about that sin. And you say, Lord, I really want this sin to go away. I hate this sin. Even though I do it, I hate this sin. That's agreement with God. You say, well, why doesn't God do something about it? Because God is working in you to build the foundation of hatred toward that sin to the point that you will turn it loose. But you see, God has to start way down at the foundation and begin to build that. You see the result of the sin, and you hate the result of the sin, but God has to get you down to the point where you hate the sin. And it comes down from the roots up. You know, you're trying to build a wall. You have to start with the first row of bricks, and then the second row of bricks. Just try to put the top row of bricks on first. Doesn't work. And God works in our lives, laying the foundation. And then he puts layer after layer, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. You see, God is not anxious about your sin like you are. What we have to do is learn how to stay in that attitude of confession, agreeing with God about our sin, and trusting God to fix it. You say, well, if I give up, it'll just be bad. That is assuming that you're doing something about it with your effort. And you're not. See, It seems like if we start just trusting God, we're going to crash and burn. Didn't happen when you got saved, did it? When we finally came to the place in our life where we said, Lord, I'm a sinner, can't help myself. Have mercy on me, a sinner. You can crash and burn. The Lord saved you. It's like that. It's the same thing with sanctification. When you say, Lord, if you don't fix me, human effort's not going to do it. I know I will never be any better than you make me. So I just submit to your will. If you don't see fit to fix this right now, I'm just going to trust you that you will fix it in your good time. Because there is no alternative. Now, what does perfection look like? When God fixes the problem, listen to what he says here. Romans 8, 22 through 25. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. Now listen to this. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Did you get that? You see, we groan wanting these things to go away. Now we've spent a lifetime building these things up. Now we want them to go away, and they don't go away instantaneously. It takes a little while. Because God has to unbuild what we have built. But in this process, he says that we are to live by hope or by faith, knowing that what God has promised, he is going to do. And so as we trust God, he is going to change all of the things in us that cause us to sin, so that we then begin to manifest Jesus and his life in us. And so we have this hope. But he says, if you can see it, you're going to stop hoping. You know when all of this is going to happen and perfection is going to come? It's when you take your last breath in this world. All of a sudden, the work is complete. And you're going to be perfect. You say, well, wait a minute. Why does God do it that way? I have argued with God about this for years. Lord, why don't you just fix the problem? I know God can do it. He could just take away all desire for sin. Why don't you just do that? Pretty good question, huh? Well, he tells us. It's because this way he gets all the glory. We don't deserve the glory for our salvation, nor for our sanctification. That's God's. And we need to rest in his promise. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. And faith and hope are the same thing. We trust the promises of God, that they are sure, that they will be fulfilled. And that hope keeps us hanging on to God. If we could see it, we wouldn't need to hope for it anymore. We wouldn't live by faith any longer. But now we live by faith, knowing that one day the righteousness of God will happen in our lives. If you are living, I want you to listen to this. If you are living your life in agreement with God and trusting God to do whatever he wants to do in your life, and not judging his performance in you, then you are sanctified. You're set apart to his service. Because you have said to the Lord, Lord, I know I'm not holy. I know I'm not righteous in and of myself. I know all of that. And I can't change who I am. And I don't want to fake it and just pretend like I'm holy when I'm not. Lord, you do in me whatever you see fit. And I'll thank you for it. then you're sanctified. You're set apart unto God. You say, but I'm not laying aside all my sin. That's God's job. You didn't save yourself either. And you can't sanctify yourself. What about service? Look at verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now here's what he's saying. If you are believing God, then God counts that for righteousness. You see, the righteousness that satisfies God is the righteousness of Christ. The only one who has that is Christ. And if he loans that to you through faith, then you are righteous in the eyes of God. The process begins and ends with God. It's not about us. Where we mess up is when we try to look righteous when we're not. We have to trust for righteousness. Abraham was not sinless, but he was righteous. You know why? Because he believed God. If you believe God, that is righteousness. Because he imputes that righteousness to us just like he imputed salvation to us when we believed God. We are his children. And he takes full responsibility for whatever he wants to do in our lives if we submit to that. And he is in the process of changing us every minute. My part and your part begins with rest. We rest in the promises of God. We rest in the goodness of God. We rest in the truth that God has set us free. And we rest in the fact that he's going to finish what he started in us. You ever thought about that? God says that he will finish what he started in you. At salvation, he started a process. The worst thing we can do is rebel against God's process and begin to get impatient with God and start trying to get God to hurry up in our lives. See, that just derails the whole plan. Because you don't have righteousness by faith when you do that. You're wanting righteousness in your flesh. It's not going to happen. Now, God will use whatever he wants to use. And if he didn't use sinners, he wouldn't use anybody. Because he doesn't have any other choice. It's sinners or nobody. Because that's what we all are. And so the Lord gives us righteousness, a substitutionary righteousness, when we trust him for it. And we just say, Lord, here I am. Send me. You remember what happened with Isaiah when God was calling him to be a prophet? He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And I said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. What's he saying? I'm a sinful person. And the Lord said, this angel took a coal and he put it on his lips, and he said, now, I've cleaned your lips. Now you go. You see, Isaiah didn't do that, but God did it. Then he said, who will go for us, and whom shall we send? Then he said, here am I, send me. Now he's still a sinful man, but he has the righteousness of God given to him through that moment of faith. And we have the same opportunity. God says, you trust me, you present your body as a living sacrifice,
and I will give you my righteousness. And you can serve me in that righteousness. And you can rest in me. Hebrews 4, 9 through 11 says this. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Folks, that right there is sanctification in a nutshell. He says, labor to enter into that rest. Don't let your mind begin to try to set up a new way of sanctification and holiness and righteousness by human effort. Trying hard to keep the law, trying hard to do what's right, trying hard not to sin. All those things are our labor. And he says when we enter into that rest, we cease from that and we say, Lord, the duck quacks, the dog barks, and I sin. There's not a thing in the world I can do about it. But I submit my life to you. You do with it as you see fit. I'm just going to rest in your goodness, rest in your promise. Not going to try to be holy on the outside while I am a raging sinner on the inside. Until you change me, that's who I am. And one of these days, he will change us and take us to glory. But until then, he will use us as sinners saved by grace. What about repentance? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ought to live in a state of confession all the time. Confession that we do not line up with God. That we are in agreement with God, but how to perform that which is good we find not. In a constant state of that. And it restores fellowship with God, because when we sin, we break that fellowship. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Whenever we walk in darkness, then that fellowship is broken, and we need to run to the Lord and agree with the Lord quickly and have it all cleaned up so that we can go forward with him. Ought to be a constant thing in our lives. If you sin, confess that sin and get rid of it. Now let's look at righteousness. Righteousness that counts with God is substitutionary righteousness. Philippians 3 through 15 says this. For we are the circumcision. Now the circumcision here in this usage is the people who fulfill the promise to Abraham. That's what he's referring to. We are the circumcision which worship God, excuse me, in the spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Does that describe you this morning? Rejoice in God's goodness, rejoice in God's grace, but have no confidence in the flesh. Our flesh is still an earthen vessel, unfit apart from God's grace. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And notice what he's saying here. He says, I am forgetting those things that are behind. That's your past. Forget that. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm still responsible for all of that. There's nothing you can do about it. What can you do about it? You can't undo anything. Amen? You ever try to undo something? Can't do it. It's done. Forget that. Move on. And press toward the mark. Now, what is the mark? The mark is not the holiness of your flesh. That's not going to happen. The mark is rest in Christ Jesus and the goodness that he promises to us through faith. You see, if I were God, I would do things different. But you know what? I'm not God. So what we have to do is do it his way. And his way is this. We trust him for salvation, trust him for sanctification, and rest in his goodness, knowing he will finish what he started. And understand that the worst thing we can do is get in the way and try to make everybody think we're something that we're not. Because that just messes everything up. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me tell you, Jesus loves you. He knows you're a sinner. He knows you can't help being a sinner. He knows that no matter how hard you try, you're still a sinner. And he wants to save you by his grace. You say, well, I just don't think I deserve that. Well, you're exactly right. You don't. Neither do any of the rest of us. But you know what? If Jesus can save me, he can save anybody. Put your trust in him, and he'll save you. If you're here and you have been struggling in your Christian life, and you have made promises to God that you can't keep, and you've tried hard, but you keep falling on your face, let me tell you what to do this morning. Come up here to the altar and just say, Lord, I am going to rest in your promise. I'm going to rest in your goodness. You do in me whatever you see fit. I'm just glad to be yours. I'm just glad that you love me enough to take the full responsibility for my life and for my death. And one of these days when I leave this world, I want to be able to walk up to Jesus and say, Lord, I am so glad you did it your way in my life. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for your grace. And Lord, I pray for anyone that's here without Jesus that they might be saved. I pray for those that are saved but are struggling, Lord, that you would set them free this morning and cause them to enter into rest by laying down their own labor and trusting you completely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.